If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
We'd like to take a moment to tell you about our sponsor, Anchor.
Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast.
It's free.
There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more.
You can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place.
So download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started. Now, let's get to the show.
What's the best way to reduce? Eat plenty or starve yourself?
30 pounds in just 18 weeks, Jenny Craig totally worked.
I love to eat, but overeating made it impossible to lose weight.
My body wants bread, and I'm going to give my body what it wants.
Oh, my God.
So I naturally.
Medical studies prove that overeating is the number one reason for weight gain. If you need to lose weight, you
really
sleep in a natural spring
of
day and bring your weight down another week or so.
Welcome to Fat Camp, a podcast that throws a comedy eye over our societal obsession of diets. Now, a little disclaimer, we are not health experts, but we are fad diet connoisseurs. I'm your host, comedian Grace Mulvey.
And I'm your co-host, Connor Dowling.
Welcome to Fat Camp. Right, welcome back, Connor, from our little, I feel like it's been like a, we've been on, I don't know, what's it called, like leave, like stress leave from Fat Camp.
We need a time to rest and recuperate.
We definitely need a time. I after the last season, which was so much fun, but like after, I was like, I need to stop talking about my childhood trauma of eating and fad diets for like, particularly over Christmas, so I can enjoy my indulgent Christmas. But yeah, welcome back to season two. Are you excited?
I'm very excited to be back on the show with you, Grace.
This episode, anyway, is about the Motivation Weight Loss Clinic. This one I have been putting off talking about for as long as I possibly could. But I just had to, I was like, when we were talking about what we talked about this season, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to actually talk about motivation. But I'm not going to lie, even when I was researching it last night, I was like, this is tough. This is going to be a tough one.
And I'm so excited to hear about this because I've never heard about this before. Of all of the experience I've had with fad diets and diet culture, I think you put motivation down on our list of episode ideas a while ago. And I was like, what? That just sounded like a generic kind of like term that people would use. I didn't realize there was a whole, I guess, industry or movement behind it. I'm so excited to hear about your torment with it.
I'm so excited for you to go into the deep well of your emotion.
Tell me about how horrible it was. I'm here to listen and enjoy.
Yeah. It's like, you know, so it's like a Saturday where it's like bright outside and I'm like, now let's relive the worst parts of my life. So the Motivation Weight Loss Clinic actually is, I didn't realize this, but it's an Irish only at the moment.
Oh, Jesus and Begara.
I know. Isn't it great that we can come up with our own diet culture crap in our own country? Now, I will say this because I'm going to go into it. Obviously, right, this is my experience of the Motivation Weight Loss Clinic. You know what I mean? I can't.
Sure.
The reason I kind of want to preempt that is because I really didn't have a great experience. So
okay.
I don't want to be like, you know, I don't want it to be too one-sided. Like we have the, obviously the idea of like, listen, diet culture is bullshit. Most diets don't work, if not all diets don't work. But, you know, I have to be fair and say, like, I'm sure there's people out there who had
it might
nice
be
experiences.
Working for some people.
Yeah, exactly. But sure. It just, this is what happened for me. But just a little bit of background, right? So what motivation does that's kind of different? It was invented,
it was invented by Thomas Edison. Before he made the light bulb, he invented Motivation Clinic in Ireland.
Yeah. I just have to say, Thomas Edison was amazing. Now, listen, some people say it was your man Tesla, but I think it was Thomas Edison.
And you know what else about Edison? Bro was cut.
He was lean. He was shredded. Okay. Unfortunately, he hadn't invented a good enough camera to get those pecs on film. But listen,
if only.
But okay, so the man behind the program is, and I'm going to butcher this name, I think he's French-Canadian, but Dr. Maurice Lacroix. When I tried to look up some information on Dr. Larisse McClure, his bio was sort of vague, I'm going to say, at best. It sounds like he obviously is a legitimate doctor and everything like that. I'm just saying that it was like I couldn't get very finite details about his training. But basically it said he's an internationally recognized physician, which I'd love to know what internationally recognized means, that like worldwide people can recognize him and go, I think you're a man, he's a doctor, right? Okay, so he's an internationally recognized physician. His research and treatment of obesity has not only been the catalyst for developing the unique Motivate Weight Management program, but also has been influential in the global communities of those combating the obesity epidemic. He's the author of 13 books and a regular public speaker in arenas of television and radio.
Sounds legit to me.
Too legit to quit. So he apparently has been developed the revolutionary thinking by focusing on an individual's mental weight. I will go into the mental weight part
mental
of
weight,
motivation.
Okay.
This is very interesting, right? So it's the mental weight essentially is a comprehensive questionnaire about a person's habits, attitudes and emotions when it comes to food. And it's in the Motivation Weight Loss Clinic. I'll go into it later, but it's analysed by the clinic consultant. Like, so if you're in it, you'd have to complete this questionnaire. I think about once a month, I remember having to do it. Yeah, so we'll go into it anyway. But it was based, the actual like Motivation Weight Loss Clinic was based off his medical kind of research. But when I dug deeper, how the actual Motivation Management Clinic started, and the fact that the reason why it's only in Ireland was it was started by a businessman called Paul Connolly. So he, I think, like, basically before he started Motivation Weight Loss Clinic, he and his father, who was a doctor, decided to open up a weight loss clinic in Ireland. It was successful at first. I think it was in Cork and Limerick. But basically, I think it was kind of like weight loss tablets, from what I could tell.
Okay.
And basically, like, there was questions around the effectiveness of the weight loss clinics that they were running. Connolly himself says that while the treatment was generally successful initially, many people would regain weight once they stopped going to the clinics and taking weight loss medication. So he kind of says, like, listen, medication at the time was getting a bad name in press, and the results were poor. So that's kind of why that closed down. But then he was looking for another venture, this Paul Connolly man. And he went and heard Dr. Maurice Leclerc talk, do one of his big public speaking seminars. And he was talking, Dr. Maurice Leclerc was talking about people focusing on their mental weight rather than their physical weight, and not just on medication and all that. And he really liked this whole approach. And that's where the Motivation Weight Management Clinic started. It now has over 2 dozen locations in the country. This is from an article in 2017, so I'm imagining it's around the
same. How many?
About 2 dozen, they said.
2 dozen, wow, okay.
In Ireland.
There could be
only
one
Ireland.
Very near you right now as you're listening to this.
Yeah, you could be sitting in one right
your
now.
Your house
not
could
knowing.
Be a motivational clinic. So just be mindful of that.
Yeah, you could be like, you could just wake up one morning and go, this isn't my bed, this is the Motivation Weight Loss Clinic that I'm waking up in. So basically the way motivation works is they don't just focus on like what you're eating, but why you're eating it and all about the emotions. So they're really, really going in on kind of like the emotional and mental part of eating, which, by the way, can only be, you know, I think
that sounds positive so far.
Exactly. But sounds positive so far.
How could this possibly go wrong?
And then the cage comes down. No.
I'm in. Grace, so, where can I actually sign up for this as a matter of interest?
I feel like this is an ad. Okay, please, by the way, if you decide to stop listening to the podcast right now,
yeah.
This is
season
an ad
2, we've decided to promote diets.
I love that, like, we've just totally changed tack and actually we're like mad into diet culture. So basically, the company offers one-to-one meetings with consultants. So you're not doing the whole thing of like the Weight Watcher group thing. That's gone. You are going to meet one-to-one with a person. And it's about an hour long. These sessions are an hour long. So like they can be really quite personal, and like you're going to go in depth to what you did the week before. All of this is a quote from Paul Connolly, and I want people to remember this when I start talking about my own experience of it. All of our consultants are trained in cognitive behavioral therapy. They give out weekly handouts and do exercises that will help with self-image and motivation, Connolly says, okay? So, for example, for a visualization exercise, they could picture themselves at their ideal weight at work or at a daughter's wedding. So that's the kind of like what they are kind of like going for.
Sure.
Okay. So anyway, that's how it
even
all
if
started.
You don't have a daughter, they're just like, you have to picture that.
Imagine a daughter. Imagine you have a daughter. And then imagine you at your ideal weight.
I say she's a daughter. Does she have a weight problem as well? Has she been on a diet before the wedding?
Imagine you, your daughter at her ideal weight. What you imagine her ideal weight is. And then you at your ideal weight at her wedding with her groom. If she doesn't have a husband yet, imagine him at his ideal weight. And then their priest at their ideal weight marry them both together at their ideal weight.
Already this sounds like confusing? A lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Connor, I don't. If you want to get your ideal weight, I don't understand why you won't do this. Okay,
yeah.
It's like the way I imagine COVID ending. Just imagine myself at my ideal weight at my ideal time that COVID will ideally end, which is right now. Basically, that's kind of the whole the science behind the motivation weight loss clinic is essentially kind of like it works because it helps you understand both the physical and psychological and emotional reasons why you're overeating and gives you the tools that you need to tackle them both. Okay. So say goodbye to counting calories and denying yourself the things you love and say hello to a whole new voyage of discovery.
Hello.
So, hello. Dr. LaCroix himself says, trying to lose weight by dieting is like taking an aspirin for a toothache. You will only get short-term results as it's just treating the symptoms. To be successful long-term, you need to change the way you think about food. Otherwise, you're going to be going around in circles. Okay, now here is one of the facts once again before I go into it. Motivation states that 82% of Motivation's clients' weight loss was maintained for more than 4 years. This is a phenomenal success rate compared to conventional diets, which have a maximum of 5% maintaining weight loss after just 1 year. The clinical study was published in just one medical journal, from what I can tell, which is the Journal of Bariatric Medicine. That's what they're referencing. So the only reason I mentioned that is because, like, you know, we were saying in last season in a previous episode, it's really hard to get any diet programs to release any stats of long-term weight loss or people having to return from weight gain. So the fact that this was on their website, I remember the first time I ever signed up, I saw 82%. I went, that's it. I'm one of those 82%. Can't wait. Let's go. But like, when this was the first time I was looking at it critically and going, oh, that's one study. Like, I'm kind of going to need even more information than just one study, which, by the way, one study. And if you watch any, John Oliver did a great one.
Oh, yeah. Scientific studies have shown.
They could, like, studies could be like 10 people. Mm-hmm. They could have, and they could even do two people and go 82%, which could be 1.5 people maintaining their weight after 4 years. And do you know what I mean?
They're often industry funded. They're often, or, you know, an industry will fund 10, you know, studies, and they'll pick the one that corresponds to their beliefs and what they're selling.
Exactly. The one that they can put on the packet. So anyway, that is the whole thing behind motivation. Now, one thing I noticed when I was stating there, you know, when he said like dieting is like putting using aspirin to treat a toothache, it's not going to solve the problem. The thing is that actually motivation like is a really restrictive diet. So I just want to say that outright. It is actually an incredibly restrictive diet. Now, they are adding in the other aspects of your mental weight and like everything like that. But when I'm just going to show you very quickly what it is, what's involved, okay? If you're starting out in motivation, which I was, right? Oh, Connor, I'm sweating thinking of how much this cost me, and I'm devastated to have to say
don't
this.
Don't worry, I'm here for you.
It's a 20-week program with weekly one-to-one sessions with a mentor. A tailored low-calorie, high-protein, low-carb, low-fat diet and advice on changing eating habits. Cost start. Now, the website said this, but I remember it being higher. Starting at €560 for 20 weeks. Oh. I remember paying €640.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. A possible further €600 for supplements and diet aids.
A possible how much?
600. Now, I don't know where that number comes from because basically that depends on what you're willing to buy, but I'll go into it. Extra protein bars, liquid protein drinks costing around €30 a week. That was about €32 for me. Motivational books and CDs costing €25 to €35 each. Okay.
But so, you get weekly handouts as well, don't you?
They print the paper. You don't have to pay for that paper. The weekly handouts.
Well, that's where the money goes. That's where the money goes.
Listen. And I do remember I got a pen off them at one point. So in a way, I got the money back.
You know what I mean? Made a profit.
Stationery cost. Oh, like, in a way, Connor, this is my apology podcast to motivation because they're out of money because I took that bet. Right. So obviously it is an incredibly expensive weight loss diet. Okay. And like, as much as that, that's why that quote from Dr. Lecreux saying that dieting is, you know, not, as, it's the fact that he was like, basically the dieting doesn't solve anything. This is an incredibly restrictive diet. Mm. Okay, so I'm going to go into the three options that you have, right? Essentially, when you start, right, there's three options. You can do the basic diet, the boost diet, or the accelerator diet, okay? From this is kind of, I went for the boost, which is the middle one, right? But okay. Basically, the basic diet, you'd lose about 2 to 4 pounds a month. The boost diet, you'd lose 8 to 10 pounds per month. The accelerator diet, you'd lose 15 to 17 pounds per month.
That's obviously incredible. For 20 weeks?
For 20 weeks. So this...
So you're supposed to lose 17 pounds a month for 20 weeks? What is that, like, so 100 that, pounds or something?
That's like... Wait, no, that's 20 weeks. What? Let's... Oh, God, that's my math. 5 months, yeah. Isn't it? So, like, right. Basically... my math is gone here, but 17 yeah. or 5, folks. It's an Olsen twin.
It's 85. It's yeah, that's yeah, yeah. 85 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So... I'm in.
They also their big selling point is that you'd lose like a stone in 6 weeks or a stone in a month. That's sure. kind of like the on their, you know, all their
at least stuff. You'll at least get that
at
out
least,
of us.
At least. The actual diet itself, like what they promise you, right, is that you eat 5 to 6 times a day. So they're big into the small portions, you know, over a day. You'll no longer have cravings. I'm going to say that's bullshit. You enjoy tasty and nutritionally balanced food. They're playing fast and loose with the word tasty there. Never feel hungry or deprived. Sorry. I'm just laughing because, like, I would describe that time in my life as sponsored by hunger and deprivation. You lose an average of 1 stone in 4 to 6 weeks. You have more energy, lower cholesterol, lose fat, not muscle, right? So, okay, so here's my story when it comes to it. What basically is, it is a very low carb diet, very high protein, okay? So on, say, the basic plan, you might have 3 carbs a day. What 3 carbs are is like a slice of toast, a small potato, and maybe like, and I mean like maybe like a thumb of rice. That's what I'm going to describe. A thumb, the size of my thumb.
It's like half a piece of sushi. Like,
yeah. Okay, don't splurge, Connor. Half a piece of sushi. Whoa. Like, you know, like, what is it, Christmas? So that would be like your basic plan. But on the boost plan, on the plan I was on, you'd have 2 carbs a day.
Oh, okay.
Right? But you'd have like 2 protein substitutes a day as well. You basically have like 6 portions of protein over the day. The 2 protein substitutes are basically motivation bars or like crisps and stuff, okay? These packets, right, cost €16 per packet. So like for 7 bars, it's €16.
Oh my God.
So obviously if I was having 2 a day, I'd have to buy 2 packets every week. So I'd pay €32 every week.
Oh my God.
To get my protein substitutes.
And it's not even real food. It's some processed,
dodgy absolutely.
Snake oil stuff. Like.
Yeah, absolutely. But like as well, because my taste bud changed so much over this time, by the way, these were like crack cocaine.
Sure.
Like I was like licking packets to try and get the like little whatever.
Gotta get all that protein out.
Gotta get all that protein.
That's good, sweet protein.
But basically my day would look like, all I'm going to say is, right, you have vegetables, you are only allowed, I think, 3 portions of fruit. And once again, a portion of fruit might be like a small apple or a medium apple, a small banana. Like a banana to me was like,
banana.
Oh my God, a thumb of banana. A toenail of banana. Like that's
a pinky toe of reason. Watermelon.
Yeah. An earlobe of blueberries. But so you'd have about, I think maybe 3 portions of fruit. I'm trying to go by memory here. 3 portions of fruit. You'd have about 6 portions of protein over the day, and 1 portion of protein would be like 30 grams of chicken, and I mean plain chicken, right?
Oh yeah.
Toast would be a carb, you wouldn't be allowed butter. I think you get 2 portions of dairy, and that had to be like a natural yogurt, a low, you know, fat-free natural yogurt, or like cottage cheese. Oh God, cottage cheese.
Oh, cottage. Anyway. Don't get me started on these diets that say cottage. have as much cottage cheese as you want, and you're like, okay, sure. It's like the most disgusting thing.
And you know when you're like, you're desperately into diet culture when you start looking up cottage cheese recipes to try and sweeten cottage cheese.
Yeah, get that cottage cheese into your porridge for an extra hit of protein.
Oh yeah, or they're like, put blueberries in your cottage cheese and it's like a dessert. Scumbags. And you're like, how dare you?
Twisted,
okay. So anyway, that's kind of the basis. As you can imagine, it's just essentially no alcohol, absolutely no alcohol. Vegetables, you can have as much as you want, except, and this was something that I found very interesting about Motivation, they had a restricted vegetable list.
Wait a minute, let me guess, carrots?
I think carrots were on it. I remember this so clearly that I laugh about it. On the non-restricted vegetable list, you could have green peppers or red peppers, no problem, you can have as many as you want today. On the restricted vegetable list was yellow peppers.
Yeah.
You could only have one a day. And I remember thinking like, like, I never questioned why, but fucking why?
Grace, don't be splurging on yellow peppers. That's gross. Like,
listen, you'll find me like in an alleyway beside a Skip fucking gnawing on that yellow pepper cheat day. Yeah, it was very, that's what I mean about it being very restrictive. It was
confusing.
Like, very confusing. I think around by the end, right? And I was on the boost. So I was on the medium one. On the accelerator one, from what I could tell, you didn't have any carbs. And you had three protein substitutes a day. So you had to buy three packets of the Motivation stuff.
Madness. Right?
Are you an emotional eater? Do you eat when you're sad and anxious? Or eat when you're happy and want to celebrate? Do you eat when you need comfort, as the world is a flaming mass of destruction and despair? If emotional eating is the problem, we say, ditch your emotions so you can ditch those pounds. That's why we created
the Robot Diet. Have you ever seen a robot and thought, man, that robot is lean? That's because robots don't have emotions. They don't feel sadness or joy. They just exist. So we say, let's just exist, like robots. See food the way a robot does. Food is fuel. It just keeps your mechanical body moving. It's not meant to be tasted or savoured or enjoyed with your loved ones. It's just fuel that you guzzle down your stupid little non-robot body.
And what do you do when you feel those emotions coming back up?
Suppress them. Your parents did, and look how happy they are. Don't feel, don't taste, just exist. The Robot Diet.
So, okay, just to show you a few things, right? Just to kind of give you a bit of background of why I got into it. I got into it around 2012, 2013, okay? You know, obviously, this is a comedy podcast, so you're not going to get too serious.
But hilarious.
My life is falling apart.
What, oh. Grace, whatever you say, I'm going to laugh. So just
thanks
for setting us up for that. No, let's go back.
I had a death in the family and, you know, it was a very big death. I'm very close to my cousin. I won't go into that, but this, I obviously, you know, it was just afterwards. And, you know, listen, grief is a very odd thing, but actually one thing that people kind of don't talk about is if you're in a lot of pain, whether it's grieving or you might be going through a breakup or something really bad, a lot of people do find dieting then and have some of their greatest results in dieting. And the reason I think that this is true is because dieting is really restrictive. It's tough. It's no fun. It takes up all of your focus. And that's what you want when you don't want to deal with something big in your life.
Okay.
So when I was like, this was a horrible shock in my life. I kind of just didn't want to deal with it. And I was like, do you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to fix my weight. That weight thing that actually I wasn't an unhealthy person. I was just a big person. But I was like, do you know what? I'm going to fix this now, because if I fix this, I'd feel better. You know, if you're a thin person, you're in our minds, of course, you're successful. Everything's great. You've got no worries. So I thought if I could just fix this, everything will be fine.
There's also a sort of guilt, you know, being a bigger person, you know, quote unquote unhealthy, that you're kind of wasting your health, your chance at life, you know. So there is that guilt that when someone passes away, like a friend in the in the family, there's this kind of thing of, oh, I'm not going to waste my chance of health and life, you know, because they...
You're so right. You're so right. I saw myself, like, what's so funny when I look back now is I was living my life to the full, particularly on my cousin's life, spending time with them. Just, you know what I mean? Like, enjoying my life. I've just been out of college. But I saw it afterwards as me going, I'm wasting my life because I'm a big person. And I'm not like, you know, in one of those Special K ads running down a beach in a red bikini eating 30 grams of cereal. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go fixate on this for a while. So basically I went into motivation. So that was kind of obviously the headspace I was in going into motivation. Motivation was really offering something that before wasn't being offered by other dieting, which was tailoring, like literally focusing in on you. I was going to have one-to-one sessions with a person who apparently was trained in cognitive behavioral therapy. For a person who's, you know, in
CBT,
grief, that's a great CBT. that's how they started every session.
And they gave you a chest bump. CBT.
And I had one of those foam fingers. CBT.
And your face CBT. Painted.
Exactly. So I just have CBT written on my chest. I'd like rip my shirt off as I went in. So basically I was going in. One thing that they did in motivation, bar just the diet, as I said, is the questionnaire. So first of all, they get your mental health. So Connor, yesterday when I was kind of doing more research on it to kind of rejig my memory, because obviously it's been a long time, I went onto the website and they give you the mental weight questionnaire. Before you come in, they're like, do you want to know your mental weight before you come in? So I was like, yes. So they actually never sent me the results, which I'm devo. But here are some of the questions, right? So the mental weight basically is, motivation had a idea that you have a mental weight in your head, which is blocking you from your physical weight. As in, like, you could be a person who sees yourself as like 11 stone when actually you might be 16 stone. Or you could be a person who is like 16 stone and see yourself as 24 stone.
Yes.
So their way of thinking was, basically from what I can tell, that's kind of like body dysmorphia. It's like your mental weight is very different from your physical weight.
And then that controls your behavior that will lead you to overeat to match that mental weight, or it will lead you to not exercise to match that weight, and vice versa.
Or you're not being like, you're not seeing yourself in reality. So you could be a bigger person and think you're eating like a smaller person. That's kind of like what their whole thing was. I remember at the time, I won't say what weight I was at the time, but like I remember at the time the way I saw myself was 4 stone heavier than what I was.
Okay.
I remember that very clearly.
As in 4 stone heavier than your actual physical weight in real life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they were saying like, you actually see yourself much bigger.
Yes.
And I would agree with that. Like I don't think I am now, but I definitely suffered really badly from body dysmorphia around that time.
Yeah.
But here are some of the questions that they ask you, because I just find that this so funny. So it's like, I have unhealthy habits / lifestyle. And then it's like, yes, definitely, quite often, rarely, never. So those are like the, you know, answers. One was, I regularly quit diets if I haven't followed them properly. Yes, that's me, quite often, rarely, never. Another one was, I get cravings in the late afternoon or evening. Yes, that's me sometimes, rarely, never. So those are the kind of questions that they ask you, you know, to get a full range. If you're actually in motivation, you have to do this once a month, right?
Okay.
They go really in depth.
And so I see that you have like 5 questions here. Is the actual questionnaire much longer kind of thing? Is this just a sample of what you've shown me here?
The one that's on there is the one that they give you on the website. So the only other place I know who do this are Scientology.
I know.
where you can answer a shorter questionnaire on their website and they'll give you like a rough estimate. But if you come in, they're going to do the full one on you. So that's kind of like, I'm not saying motivation and Scientology are similar, but that's the only other place that I know do it.
The answers also remind me of that new film that just came out, Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always. Have you seen that?
I feel like, no, but I feel like that's the name of the film of my life. Never, rarely, sometimes, always.
Well, it's a very powerful film, kind of about, like, you know, teen pregnancy and abortion.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like, there's this very powerful scene where someone's asked a questionnaire with those kind of multiple choice answers.
And right.
It's crazy powerful. It's a beautiful, amazing film. But just when I saw this, I was like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, never, rarely, quite often. Yes, definitely. As in never, rarely, sometimes, always. So I think that's really interesting.
That would be a great name for an autobiography, just saying, if anyone is writing one. So when you're in motivation, that questionnaire is much longer. And
sure.
It goes into things like, have you purged in the last week?
Mm.
Have you binged eaten the last week? Like, so they really ask you questions about, have you felt suicidal? And, you know, like, there's a lot of,
okay,
like,
yeah,
really, really in-depth questions. So not only are you doing, right, these one-to-one sessions, you're doing the diet, which is quite restrictive. You're doing the questionnaire. You also listen to tapes and you do homework. So the tapes are by our Dr. Michel Leclerc talking.
Maurice Leclerc.
I always remember, like, his voice will be stuck in my head because he's like, good morning, I am Dr. Maurice Leclerc. He sounded like a lovely man. But basically, he'd have all these stories of, like, previous patients who've lost weight or haven't lost weight and what was their problem and all this sort of stuff. So you'd listen to those tapes and then you'd have to do homework where you'd be like, I was feeling like this today and I ate this today and this made me feel like this. So there was a lot of, like, interactive stuff. So when I was doing it, right, I'm going to tell you a few stories. One was, I lost a ton of weight, Connor.
Wow.
I lost
a metric ton.
A metric. I lost a truck of weight.
I didn't even know I had it. It was all from the mind. It was all from my mental.
Imagine I was like, I didn't lose one physical pound, but mentally lost 4 stone. So I lost 4 stone in 8 months.
In eight months. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just shy of 4 stone. So 4 stone, for any American listeners, that is 14 by 4... I think that's 56 pounds.
Yeah. Correct.
In about 4 months.
So when you say, yeah. Oh, sorry. So did you not say 8 months?
8 months, sorry.
Eight months. Okay.
Yeah,
but
so it does. Yeah.
It's a 20 week thing. Did you add on stuff to it or did you just continue at it afterwards?
So I did the first 20 weeks and then I paid for another like 10 weeks and then you can pay for more 10 weeks and stuff like that.
Wow.
So 10 weeks would be like 300 and something. So I paid 640 for the first initial plus every week €32 and then paid for another like 10 weeks after that.
So you lost 4 stone, 56 pounds in 8 months.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Like, I mean, that's kind of, you know, to anyone kind of listening, we might be like, oh, well, it sounds like it worked or it sounds like the system works. But, you know, chances are, like from what you've said before, that could have been like 8 months of like misery if you were eating like these like dodgy protein bars. And
yeah,
tell us about it.
So basically, yeah, it was. But I was like a military about it. This is the thing, you know, when people are like, God, that's amazing. It's a bit like when you watch The Biggest Loser and there's these people who are in a camp and they lose like 100 pounds. That's because all you're doing is this. When I say I barely saw friends, I didn't go out because I didn't drink alcohol. I didn't go out. Now, obviously, some people do go out and don't drink alcohol. That's fine. I started training for the marathon. When I say I was obsessed with losing weight. Like it's all I did. It's all I talked about. I remember very distinctly waking up on Saturday mornings, going to the gym, coming home and just praying the weekend would end because all I had was time ahead of me. Time that was filled with boredom and hunger, like waiting for the next meal and knowing that like there's nothing to enjoy. Now, because I was basically trying to ignore grieving, this actually was for me, the great distraction. So, I was doing really well in it and everything like that. Obviously, what happens with any diet, you start to do well in it and then you start to hit a bump in the road. Christmas came. So Christmas came and I was very nervous. Like anything that was of enjoyment that was coming my way, say it was like a friend's birthday or something, I would get really anxious because I'd be like, oh God, I'm going to have to go out and like this. I might have a drink or I might... What if like I have to eat a meal that's not on the plan? Like I would freak out. I wouldn't like, I would go out and be like, can I get plain chicken? One potato. How do you cook the plain chicken? Do you use oil? Like when I say I was like so militant about it, there was no joy in it. And that's why I lost the weight so quickly, obviously.
What age were you in this time period?
24, 25.
Wow.
So okay. Also a time where a lot of people would be out.
Totally.
Partying, enjoying themselves. I really was like, really just kind of trying to be away from my friends, because I was like, until I am thin, yeah, I don't want to see people.
And yeah, ironically, you know, we're talking about how, you know, when you experience this kind of grief or and you start to look at like, I'm going to take control of my life and my health and like, yeah, really like, you know, make the most of it. Ironically, you're kind of doing the opposite because you're locking yourself away. You're avoiding life. You know, you're avoiding,
yeah, oh, completely,
the social events. You're avoiding your friends. You're avoiding meals. You're avoiding holidays. Or even, oh, yeah, if you're experiencing them and, you know, gritting your teeth and going to that meal or, you know,
yeah,
experiencing Christmas, you're still anxious throughout the whole thing because you're like, how much damage is this doing to my journey?
Basically, life gets in the way of your diet. Mm. That's how you look, yeah, at it. You're like, this life thing is actually getting in the way of me losing weight. So yeah, I don't want to experience it. So Christmas came anyway, and I didn't eat any chocolate. I tried to, you know, limit my drinking. Obviously, what happens when you lose a lot of weight, people don't talk about it, your metabolism slows down to a grinding halt. Now, any place will tell you it'll boost your metabolism if you lose weight. And it's like, it's just a side effect. Your metabolism is going to slow down. So I got over Christmas. I ate a lot of, like, say, peanut butter with things, like try and, you know, put a bit of taste into it, like unwind and enjoy myself. I put on 6 pounds over Christmas, right? By the way, like, I'm not talking, this is just my, I just want to let you know, because, yeah, like, at the time that was so devastating to me. Now it's like, whatever.
But, and
like,
this is still you, yeah, being very careful and
trying to be careful, like, yeah, less, but also because of the restrictiveness of, yeah, the diet, mm-hmm, it was like being, anytime you did anything, it was like being let out of a cage. It was actually like, right, you were seeing the sunlight for the first,
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
You would just be like, oh my God, give me food, give me anything. So anyway, I went back and I remember I had this consultant that I go into every week and really admired her. Once again, don't really know what her background was, don't really know what she was trained in. But she told me I put on 6 pounds. I sat there and I was so devastated and I kept being like, that can't be true. Please don't tell me that's true. Like, I felt so disgusting. And I was like, how can I have done this? Like, I'm awful. Like, I'm an awful person. And she just went, and I, by the way, this, I really admired this woman. Like, you know, I liked her, yeah, on a really personal, but she just said, okay, well, just book it up. You put on 6 pounds. Just get on with it. And I was like, okay, I understand where she was coming from. But like, I just don't think she understood really that it was almost like she was giving me a death sentence when she told me I put on 6 pounds. And this is kind of where I stopped seeing eye to eye with motivation a bit. Before that, I was like a devout apostle of motivation. When this kind of led me down a track of putting on those 6 pounds, where I then got even more in the mindset of like, I cannot fail. I can't go off track. I can never let this happen again. Then I got really, really like started even, I took away another carb from it because I was like, let's just go with one carb. I don't need 2 carbs a day.
Oh, that's, you insane, went rogue.
I went rogue. My exercise, by the way, at the time was insane. I would cycle to and from work, 40 minute cycle each way. And I would go to the gym or an exercise class 4 or 5 times a week. So I was exercising as well as that, training for the marathon. I was exercising a lot. I told motivation all of this. Around this time as well, anytime around the weekend, I started to find it really difficult to stay on the restrictive diet because, you know, it's the weekend and you have, yeah, to. I started binging and purging. That happened. Okay. Oh. I once again, in the questionnaires, started telling them this. Like, I would put in, wow, yeah, I have done this.
Yeah.
It was never really brought up. It was just a weird one when I was like, I'm giving you this information. It's not really being brought up. And I'm talking to apparently a person who's trained in cognitive behavioral therapy.
CBT.
CBT. CBT.
Check something for a second. Had you been binging and purging before going to them? Or is it something that was in your past that you hadn't been doing and now it was resurfacing? Or is it something that came about purely during this process?
When I was a teenager, I did it a few times.
Okay.
But not really. It wouldn't have been something that actually would have been something that was like, you know, historically I was always doing.
Sure.
But yeah, like there was times when I was a teenager where once or twice I would have done it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But it really, not that it became really bad. It was just that because I was so restrictive, that any time I was let out, I just felt I had to because I was so afraid of like putting on the 6 pounds that I put on over Christmas when I slightly enjoyed myself. You know what I mean? Which unfortunately, a lot of people don't tell dieters is that actually because you're on this really restrictive diet, the moment you come off it, you're just going to put on a bit of weight. Like that's just how it's going to work. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, by the way, they have these special, I didn't really talk about this, they have these special weighing scales. So not, motivation are great in this sense of when you're on the weighing scales, they measure your muscle as well as your fat. So they will tell you, oh, listen, you actually weigh this, but really you only have this much fat loss. The rest is muscle. And sometimes you gain weight and they go, oh, that was actually, you gained a pound of muscle. So you know what I mean? They'd be, you know, and they do things that a lot of places do where I remember when I lost 18 pounds, they gave me an 18 pound fat suit to put on me.
Oh no.
So I could feel what it was like.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, all of this is happening. I
when
also
you say fat suit, I'm just picturing like one of those Eddie Murphy kind of fat suits, but it was probably more like sandbags or something, was it? Like
it was like almost like a pregnancy bump thing. Do you know what I mean? Imagine they gave me the
like
Eddie
a sumo suit.
I'd love if they gave me like, we have a Nutty Professor suit in the back. Do you want that?
And we want you to walk down Grafton Street to remind yourself of what it feels like, and just seeing you with your arms sticking out.
So they did that. And so there was stuff like that, you know, in between all of this, like as it was going on. Yeah, so around this time as well, I also was doing the marathon. So I found an old email thread. So this is how stuck, by the way, in the diet mind frame and with motivation, that even during this marathon training and marathon, I was really afraid of ever putting on weight. So I think it was 2 weeks before the marathon, I was obviously like, listen, when it comes to marathon running, you kind of need to up your carb, you kind of need to up your calorie intake. Mm-hmm. How am I going to do this without gaining weight? So I went to my consultant. She said, you know what? We have a guy here who's really good with this sort of stuff. You know, he's done the marathon, so he'll send you an email. So obviously I'm not going to, by the way, name names or anything like that, but I just want to see the advice when I got back. Stephen Steelberg.
Because he stole your money.
So I just thought this was so interesting. Now looking back with obviously my eyes going, this is kind of mad advice for someone who's doing the bloody marathon. But anyway, so he said, you know, your client should be training less this week and she'll have to watch her calorie intake. Basically, she'll need to cut out foods containing saturated fat and empty calories. And he said, like, you know, things like brown rice, pasta, lean fish, porridge is fine. But then he said, preparation is everything. So she'll need to think about what she has at the finishing line so that she doesn't destroy all the good work she has done.
Okay.
I had a client who finished a big race and ate sweets at the end and she fell off the wagon for a full week because of it. Right?
How dare she?
So how dare she?
Then how dare she eat that one Haribo?
Then she had two Haribos and fell off the wagon.
And it just exponentially grew. By the end of the week, it was 10.
She now is a Haribo. So the next line I just thought was so interesting. So she said, he said a lot of things like avoiding biscuits and cereals. Veg from the free list where possible, like broccoli or cauliflower. On the restricted list, carrots and parsnips in moderation.
Mm.
Fruit should also be limited. The safe bet is a banana before the run 30 minutes or so. And I just thought, I just was reading back on it and I was like, I was doing fucking marathon. Like,
how long is a marathon, by the way?
26.2 miles.
That's like...
and they're like, if you don't want to destroy the good work you did the week before, you'll have to think about what you eat afterwards. Like there was something where I was like, looking back on it, and it's not that like, listen, this is what they think is the right advice, but I was like, I think actually the right advice is going, listen, you're doing the marathon, like obviously, like listen, it's good to have certain foods beforehand if you want to do a decent run, but afterwards go and have a pint if you want it, or go have a nice bag of chips because you did something amazing and you deserve to celebrate, but if it's with food or if it's whatever way you want to do it with.
But
you know,
also
what I mean?
Also, how about the question, is a marathon even right for someone in your position?
Yeah.
As you're on this intense weight loss journey, maybe, you know, doing something as extreme as that at this particular point in your journey isn't right for you. And
yeah.
as your, like, you know, consultant, I might say, you know what, just stick to your 3 gym sessions a week or whatever it is. Yeah. And we'll look at the marathon or start with a half marathon or whatever. But it's like, okay, look, of course you're doing this 26 mile run. Eat a banana and don't make a pic of yourself with carrots and parsnips at the end.
I mean, like, listen, we've all been there where you're going through a breakup, you're sitting there with your bag of carrots and parsnips and you're going to town. We've
Bridget
all
Jones
done
style.
It.
Bridget Jones.
Bridget Jones style. They don't call it the carrot and parsnip. The carrot and parsnip free for all, for nothing. So listen, looking back on that, I was like, because I was like, maybe I'm being a bit tough on them. Do you know yourself? Like, you're like, maybe I'm being a bit tough on them. But when I think back, I'm like, actually, no, if you're going to promise that these people are trained as cognitive behavioral therapists, and I, like, looking back at my poor 24, 25 year old self, I can quickly diagnose there's something wrong here. You know what I mean? They were also, can I say, using the BMI, you know, body scale, mass index, right? So by their standards, I had lost about 4 stone by the end. I had another stone to go. Okay. God. One more stone to go. So at this point, by the way, like, a lot of people in my life, when I was telling them this, were like, I don't know where you can lose a stone here. Do you know what I mean? As in, like, I don't, can't really see how you'd lose another stone. Like, at this point, I was essentially a lot of muscle because I was, like, working out so much. But so the last stone is really where it messed with my head.
Oh, God, it got worse.
I got to the stage, right, where I couldn't lose another pound. Okay. Yeah. And also, as a quick note, this is when my period stopped happening. I'm just going to say, FYI, I wasn't having any sexual relations and it wasn't the Immaculate Conception. I just wasn't getting it anymore. So it stopped coming for a good few months. This happens to a lot of women who lose weight rapidly. Okay.
And why? Do you know, like, the science of why does that happen? Is it a hormonal thing or is your body holding on to...
It's stress. A lot of women, and it is, I'd say it's a hormonal thing. You're messing with your body. Mm. You are losing. And when people are like, lose a stone in a week, I'm like, you are messing with your body. Your body is a fantastic, beautiful thing.
Oh.
Why would you go, oh, it's got to transform in a week? Like, be fair to it. Whatever you want to do with your body, it's going to take time. It took you time to learn how to walk. Why would we suddenly be like, oh, babies should be able to go do a sprint the moment they get out of the womb? No, we go, oh, it takes time for your body to change.
To be fair, babies are pretty chubby, so, like, they could do with a marathon.
Motivation had a, your mental baby weight is gross.
You can't even talk.
But you know what I mean? Like, we allow, it's so funny how we allow, in a way, like, say with babies and children, we go, oh, they need time to grow. Like, this is part of their growing process. Yeah, with our own bodies, we're like, we should be able to change this quickly because we're disgusting. But anyway, so my period stopped coming. I remember St. Patrick's Day. It's so funny that we're recording this actually a week before St. Patrick's Day. And I remember St. Patrick's Day was really bad. It was like the week before the weekend of St. Patrick's Day. And I was in with her and I just was really, it was, I think another week I hadn't lost any weight. I was stagnant. It was just weeks of being like, maybe losing a pound, putting up a pound, staying the same. I couldn't get past it. It wasn't happening. And I was being the most diligent at this time. I was cycling. I was exercising, going to gym. I was, you know, running everything I could do. And I was restricting my food as far as I could. And I remember, in all fairness to my consultant, at this point, she went, okay, do you know what? She's like, what are you doing for St. Patrick's Day this weekend? And I said, no, like, my friends are going out, but I just don't know if I should. I think I should just stay in.
Yeah.
Or else I might want to drink or eat, you know. And she was like, maybe I think you should go out and just forget about this for the weekend. Just go out and enjoy Paddy's Day. Now, don't go crazy, but just go out and enjoy Paddy's Day. And I was like, okay. Oh, okay. All right. And I went out and, like, I was at a friend's house and had a drink or two and had some fried food. And I suddenly felt like my stomach was in such pain. And my stomach was in such pain and so bloated because suddenly I was introducing some fried food and alcohol to my body, which hadn't been in my body. I looked actually like I was pregnant. My stomach ballooned out.
Wow.
And I was really uncomfortable. I couldn't. And you know what was so weird? I couldn't be normal with my friends. I just couldn't talk to them properly. I was really, like, in my head. I was just really like, oh, like, I shouldn't have eaten this, or, oh, this is going to take me weeks now, and I'm never going to get to my goal. And I just felt, I felt huge. I felt like I was twice the size of my physical body. I couldn't see. My friends were reacting to me like, oh, you've lost so much weight and stuff. And I was like, I don't think I've lost any weight. Like, I would say I couldn't see the weight loss. I could not see what they were talking about, because also, and this is something, my body type is, I have a stomach, I have a belly. Like, that's just the shape of my body.
Sure.
Always has been, always will. So even at my leanest, thinnest,
yeah,
I still had a belly. And so I was like, I'm not thin because I have a belly. Because whenever I saw these before and after photos that were all over the internet, women always had really, they were in bikinis, they had really, you know, taunt stomachs, and that's just not my body type. But I didn't understand that at the time, and I thought, oh, that means I'm still fat and I have to lose the weight. Anyway, long story short, after this kind of disastrous St. Patrick's Day, I was still very much in my head. Anyway, I got a few more weeks of being very strict to myself. I went to Motivation and I had put up a pound. Okay, and this was really the boiling point. I then sat there and I was so upset. I was so devastated. And the consultant went, listen, let's just go through what you're eating every day. Now, it was pathetic what I was eating every day, like pathetic. But the one thing I was breaking away from Motivation was, instead of just having a plain yogurt in the morning, I was having a fat-free raspberry yogurt because I loved the taste of raspberry. And she said, ah, here we are now. This is the problem.
Yeah.
And she was like, I think we're going to have to get rid of that yogurt. And I cried. Like, I actually was like,
yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
please don't make me.
Yeah.
Please don't make me get rid of my yogurt. It's the only thing I enjoy in the morning. It is the only thing I enjoy all day. And she said, well, listen, she said something like, she wasn't as blunt as this. She said like, you know, do you want to lose the weight or not? Like, you're going to. And you know, when I look back now, I'm like, you're fucking telling me there's a girl in front of you, a 25-year-old girl crying, who's lost a ton of weight, isn't getting her periods anymore, is telling you that at times she binges because she can't handle how restrictive diet is. And you're telling me the yogurt is a problem. And you're a cognitive behavioral therapist. Like, then I was like, this is nuts. So I went home. I didn't go to work for 3 days. I genuinely was really, really upset. I couldn't. And my mum was like, she didn't know what to do with me. My mum was, I was at home. My mum was like, where do I bring you? Because I just couldn't be consoled. So she brought me to a doctor. Now, I'm telling you this because I actually found this to be a very eye-opening moment and great moment for me. I went to a doctor, my GP, and my GP sat me down and was like, okay, so tell me what happened. And I told him, like, I'd lost 4 stone. It's been about 8 months. And he went, okay. And I said about the periods. And he was like, are you pregnant? I was like, no, not possible unless I'm, you know, Virgin Mary reincarnated.
Could be.
And then, could be. Turned out I wasn't.
Yeah.
But he went, okay. And he knows my family and everything, right? He goes, okay, listen. You are never going to be a thin person.
Wow.
He just said that. He was like, you are not designed to be a thin person. And he was like, I'm saying this, I think you look great. He's like, you've always looked great. You're a very healthy girl. You will not have a flat stomach. You are not meant to be a very thin person. That is not the way your biology is. He was like, look at like your dad, look at like some other people in your family. And by the way, like I varies of all different shapes and size. Like, I'm not saying that, but it was just like, he was like, the way you are designed. He's like, you are a very healthy person. He's like, you're just not going to be a thin person. And that was, although very hard to hear.
Yeah.
And by the way, can I just say, I still went on to diet for many years to come.
Yeah.
And also went back to Motivation. Hands up. But that moment has led me to now where I go, oh yeah. Like, I am not, I was fighting my body. I was, with every day, fighting my body to do something that it was not designed to do. I'm not Kate Moss. Kate Moss couldn't try and look like me, and I am not going to look like Kate Moss in terms of our body types. That's just not the way it is.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. But it took, and he actually, my doctor said, they are trying, they will tell you that you can, and that's just not possible. Like, as much as I'm like, I'm not saying Motivation might have worked for some people. And by the way, like, for those other parts of it that I thought were really good, the emotional, you know, like all that sort of stuff. But I was very upset with the program, thinking, you guys saw that if you are going to tap into the emotional and psychological part of dieting, you also then have to take a bit of account to see that this might, a patient seems to be kind of coming into disordered eating here. You know what I mean? Like, as in, like, they seem to be taking a step too far. It might be time to intervene and go, you need to maybe take a step back from this. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, if you're going to go into that part of the dieting, say that other diet programs don't do, you also then have to take a bit of responsibility for it as well. But it was such an eye-opening moment for me when my doctor said that. Such an eye-opening moment.
Grace, I actually, I'd like to respond to a couple of things you've said there. And
okay.
I need to take a bit of a breath because, like, I have to say, like, you know, you're my friend and it was quite emotional, like, hearing a lot of that. And I'm sure a lot of people listening will feel the same way. It's very, very difficult to hear what you were kind of put through. And but at the same time, I'm just also very overcome with, like, pride over, like, you know, how far you've come and, you know, how good your headspace is around your journey at the, you know, in recent years. And I absolutely just want to, like, applaud you so much for that. You know, if you were here, I'd give you a hug. You know, I'm not just saying that, like, you know, it's just because personally, though, I didn't go through that exact kind of experience at all. And so much was personal to you. There are so many things throughout that I know as a person who had, you know, weight struggles over the years and food struggles, relate to so much of what you said, and so will I think a lot of the people who we've heard today. And I think it's just so important to hear your side of the story, you know, because we just so often hear, I tried this diet, I tried this regime, I wasted a lot of money, and you know, it's my fault, I couldn't stick to it, and shame on me. And, you know, I think the thing that weirdly sticks out to me the most is the fucking raspberry yogurt story. It just, that kind of is a bit of a dagger in the heart, because, you know, what I see there is a quote unquote health expert, whatever their fucking degree says or certification says, they're fostering an eating disorder. They're fostering a food obsession. You know, the fact that you, like you said, you're in tears in front of this person and they are taking away the one sad little enjoyment you have left in life. You're in your 20s, you know, you're a young woman, you shouldn't be worrying about these sort of things. But look, this is the fucking society and diet culture we're in. So like, fair play. And I knew that some of the points of that, like you told me before about how you lost your period through excessive dieting, you told me before about the doctor, like, giving you that kind of tough love that, you know, at first was difficult to take, but in recent years has kind of, you've kind of went, actually, you know what, that was probably the fucking best thing, you know, someone could have said to me. It was just probably very hard to take. But I didn't realize that was all kind of in the package of this motivational thing that I had kind of never really heard of before. So, you know, fair play for sharing that. It's not easy to share that sort of thing. And yeah, I'm just so glad that you're kind of on the other side of that now. And hopefully someone who hears your story will be able to identify those red flags in their own experience and what's happening around them. And they'll be able to go, actually, you know what? I don't need to fucking torture myself like that. I'm going to have the yogurt. I'm going to go out with my friends. Maybe being a fitness Instagram type model with the abs and the flat stomach and all isn't in my future, but that's okay.
Yeah. And thanks, Connor, for saying that. That's so choice. do you know what? Like, as I said before, like, it is, there's certain episodes that we've discussed that we're like, you're kind of putting them off because you're like, oh, this is, and it's also because it's hard to make parts of it funny when you're like, no, this, I'm going to go into a part that's going to be not funny for 10 minutes.
I mean, that was all hilarious to me as well, but no.
I mean, the raspberry yogurt punchline was amazing. But yeah, it is. It's, do you know what? And it's, I know that's why, like, I, as well, we try to be fair to, you know, I've had friends who've had certain successes on diets and stuff like that.
Sure.
That's why, but I have to say that, like, overall, as we said, overall, this diet culture thing is just so negative and insidious. And I think that when it came to motivation, I also was coming in from a grief standpoint. Like, I had come in from a very emotional time. And I think it's because this was a highly personalized one where you had a consultant. They knew a lot about you. So it wasn't like I was coming into a group where it was like I was showing up once a week and sort of like doing my way in and like being like, oh, like I made a mousse out of a fucking avocado and my tears. But like, you know what I mean? In this, I was very like open about the fact of what I was experiencing. And that's the fact that this still happened. This basically this eating disorder came about. And, you know, from what I could, like, when I look back, I'm like, as much as I take responsibility as well, you know, but like, they also bear a bit of a brunt of the responsibility of this. Like, I was a young woman there and I was telling them stuff and like, none of the red flags were, they were like, kind of pointing out and going like, okay, we're going to need to take a step back here or you're going to need to go get help somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because they're, as much as,
they're
if you're going
to
say that,
prepared for exactly. the reality of it. If someone comes to them and says, look, I used to be super fit and healthy, and then in later years, through whatever life reasons, I put on weight and I want to get back to that, they will probably be able to help those people get back to their, you know, their peak kind of physical weight. But if you're coming and going, I've got, you know, like signs of possible eating disorders, I've got mental health problems, and this whole thing is causing like food obsessions and basically eating disorders, they're gonna just gonna be like, oh, well, just stick to the plan and you'll be fine.
And also like, you know, I you know, obviously if you want to go lose weight, we don't judge anyone who wants to do what they want to do, but like, you know, as much as it's packaged, it's also the fact that it still is a restrictive diet. Like, you know, as they're going to deal with like great stuff, but at the end of the day, it's like protein bar, like, do you know what I mean? And now I suppose, I think, and as a culture, hopefully we're pushing towards this, is more of a joy for food, whatever that is, whether it's a joy for an avocado, great, go nuts. But like a bit more joy in life. But anyway, listen, so that was my experience of it. I will say this, I did go back to motivation. I think it was like 2.5 years ago. I did another like 10 weeks of it. Once again, like I lost about a stone or something, but you know, put it back on, all this sort of stuff.
I, you know, now that you say like, that, I remember us being in the car coming back from like improv or something and you telling me that you were doing this thing. I don't know if you said motivation, but I remember you explaining it to me as being this very kind of involved one-to-one kind of experience. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
So I did go back, like, and this is the interesting thing. Cause I was like, I went back to this, but it is such a funny thing. Like, even though, and this is, you might get to a point where you're like, one day you could be like, you know, I'm kind of happy as I am. The next day we can still, we are in a society that constantly people are trying diets. They talk about it. You could bump into someone on the street and they go, oh, I lost like 10 pounds in the last week on this. It kind of brings you back into diet culture really quickly. It's one of these things that it has taken a really long time for me to get to where I am now. I'm 32 now. So you're talking like 7-8 years since I did this originally. I went back at one point. I've done weight. By the way, I had another death in the family only 2 years ago. I lost a significant amount of weight after that on Weight Watchers. So for me, actually, a lot of the times when I lose weight, it tends to be linked in with a really hard time in my life.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm learning about myself where I'm like, oh, it's not actually, weight loss for me isn't showing that I'm doing great. Weight loss for me is showing that I probably went through something pretty tough not so long ago because I would rather focus on this. One other thing I want to say, because like, this is so funny. I remember, and this is obviously just such speculation, but I remember when Adele lost weight. And I was like, you know, she lost like a ton of weight and it was all highly publicized. And I just remember thinking to myself, didn't she just go through a divorce? Right. So that kind of makes sense to me. Yeah. And I'm not saying that, but it's like to focus on something other than maybe a really hard time in your life. It makes sense to me when people do this because it's like, if you're going to lose a significant amount of weight, you're kind of like, oh, I just don't want to focus on anything else. I'll just focus on this thing because it's hard and it takes all my attention. So it, now, obviously, I don't know her, but like, they kind of made sense to me that that would be like, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. She got divorced recently, so you know.
Totally. You know? And like, after the breakup, after, you know, some sort of loss, you know, we do get this kind of like Rocky training montage mentality where we're like, oh, I'm gonna be running every morning, I'm gonna be drinking fucking raw eggs for breakfast and avoiding all of that, those like social life distractions and fun and fast food and all that stuff, and you know, in 3 months or 6 months I'm gonna step out at my ideal weight at my daughter's wedding who is yet to be born, and I'm going to look amazing and everyone will see, and you know, I'll see, but like, so will maybe your ex will see how amazing you look, you know, maybe your family will look at you and be proud, you know, And
that is so funny, Connor. Like, if you hit a rock, not a rock bottom, but if you ever hit a really bad part, you want your physical self to look different so that people will be like, wow, look at him or her. Yeah. They're not doing badly on the inside because look at their outside. You know what I mean? It's so true, though. It's so true. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, that was my story anyway. Obviously, once again, we have to say, just in case for legal reasons.
So would you recommend it, Grace?
10 out of 10, says Grace.
I'm on my way back there now.
But once again, this is my experience. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is what we talk about. You know, I can't speak for everyone. Obviously, there's some people who are going to rave about things. That's fine. But this was just what happened with me. And then I also, then, as I said, I started the second time, lost a bit of stone, whatever, but kind of put it back on then after, you know, all this nonsense that we go through, Connor. You know what I mean? But listen, yeah, so that's my motivation story. I hope it motivated you, Connor, to love yourself.
It's motivated me to never feel motivated ever again.
And obviously, you know, if you're listening to this and it's you've had some issues with it or like it's brought up some stuff for you, always, you know, look for some like local, if there's like Bodywise in Ireland or if there's any issues you're having with food, like, you know, contact your local area for like helplines and things like that. You know, look up organisations. There's great stuff out there. Thanks for listening to this episode of Fad Camp. As always, we want to thank our producer, Darren Lee. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to review us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Great ratings and reviews really help more people find the show, and it would mean a lot to us.
Make sure to share the episodes with friends and family or on your social media. Every listen helps.
And we absolutely love hearing from our listeners. So please get in touch with any of your diet stories on fadcamppodcast@gmail.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.